to the passage we've just read, Genesis chapter 37. For some months in our evening services, I've been preaching the book of Joshua, and we've come at a point where there's a natural break. And as you know, when I'm preaching through a longish book of the Bible, rather than take the whole book in one go, I like to break it up and do some other series and then come back. And I've decided to take a break from the book of Joshua. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be studying the life of Joseph. And this evening, what I want to do is to just present an introduction. So although I will be referring to some incidents in 37 and in other chapters of Genesis, I won't actually be expounding any passage this evening, but we're going to do a kind of an introduction to the life of Joseph. And then from next week, we will actually begin to look at various events in his life. This evening, by way of introduction, I want to just ask a very simple question. Why should we study the life of Joseph? We can date Joseph fairly accurately, and he lived roughly 4,000 years ago. It's a long time. And he, of course, lived in areas of the world that we may have visited, but we really don't know very well. He was born, of course, in what is today Israel or the Holy Land. And then, as we've read in this passage, he went to live in Egypt. And you may have visited these countries on holiday, but actually, we've never lived there, as far as I'm aware. Hardly anybody has lived in those places. So we're reading and studying a man who lived 4,000 years ago in parts of the world that we really know very little about. Why should we study this man's life? Well, as I say, by way of introduction, I have four reasons for you why we should study the life of Joseph. And then as we go through this life, I will remind you of these things. But let me present to you these four reasons why we should study the life of Joseph. And the first reason is this: Joseph teaches us about the daily Christian life. Yes, he lived 4,000 years ago. And yes, he was born in today what is Israel. And then he lived the rest of his life in Egypt. But Joseph was a child of God. And Joseph was justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we are. The Bible tells us that. The Bible says that those in the Old Testament who were God's people became God's people in exactly the same way that we became God's people. We must never make the mistake of thinking that in the Old Testament there was a way of getting saved, there was a way of having forgiveness of sins, which is very different to the New Testament. If that is how you think, then I recommend when you get home, read the Epistle of Paul to the Romans and chapter 4. Because in Romans chapter 4, Paul speaks about how a person gets saved. And he actually uses two illustrations from the Old Testament. He speaks about David, and he says David knew the forgiveness of sin because he trusted in the Lord Jesus. And he speaks about Abraham, Joseph's grandfather, and he says Abraham was saved because he trusted in the Lord Jesus, and because he trusted God, it was credited to him as righteousness. So Joseph was a child of God, just as we today are the children of God. And as we look at the life of Joseph, we are learning about the Christian life. We're learning about what happens to God's people here on earth. And I find this very, very encouraging. Do you know, we know more about Joseph's life than we know, for example, about Noah's life. We hardly know anything about Noah's life. We know more about Joseph's life than we do about Abraham's life. We don't know that many incidents in the life of Abraham. We know a few incidents. We know about the time he met Abimelech and went to Egypt, and the time that God met with him and so on. But we don't have a record of that many incidents in the life of Abraham. We know more about Joseph's life than we know about Moses' life. Now, we know a lot about Moses as the leader of God's people, but in his personal daily life, we really know very little about Moses. But God has chosen to record a number of incidents in Joseph's life. And we need to look at this because they tell us about the normal Christian life here on earth. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute. This man went to Egypt and eventually became the prime minister of Egypt. That doesn't sound very normal. Well, I know that the details of the incidents vary. But the point I'm trying to make is this, that Joseph's life was a life where there were tremendous blessings and a life where there were tremendous trials. It was a life where he knew great joy in his Christian life. It was a life where he knew great happiness in his Christian life. And it was a life where he knew great trials and great difficulties and great sorrows. And it's not because he was a great sinner. It's not because God was displeased with this man and was disciplining him or judging him or anything like that. The life of Joseph is never presented to us as the life of a man who was a particular sinner who had fallen into great sin and God was disciplining him. That's not how his life is presented. It is presented to us as, if you become a Christian, you in your Christian life will have times of wonderful blessings. There will be times when you will have great joy and peace and happiness and you will have prosperity. And God will be good to you and God will watch over you and God will bless you and you will know these tremendous times. But Joseph's life tells us that we in our Christian lives will also know times of great difficulty, times of great trials, times when we face anguish and heartache and pain. And this is not because we have sinned against God and God has turned against us. Nothing of the kind. Do you know that in the book of Acts, we have a man called Stephen. Just before Stephen was killed, he gives a summary of the Old Testament. It's a very remarkable sermon of Stephen's in the book of Acts chapter 7, where he gives you an overview of the Old Testament, and he mentions some of these great characters of the Old Testament, and he speaks about Joseph. And Stephen's summary of the life of Joseph was this: God was with him. That's what Stephen says about Joseph. He says, Joseph faced great trials, but God was with him. And this is something we will see as we study the life of Joseph. So, for example, we will see that he served in Potiphar's house, and he was faithful. He was a godly man. He didn't commit sin. Even when he came across tremendous temptation, he did not give in to temptation. He resisted temptation. And because he resisted temptation, he found himself in deeper difficulties and found himself in prison. And we have the record of Joseph in prison. And when you read that record of Joseph in prison, it says repeatedly, but God was with him. I think it's three times in that one passage where it records Joseph in prison. It says three times, God was with him, God was with him. So Joseph is an insight. It's a kind of God pulling back the veil and saying, you want to know what the Christian life here on earth is? Well, look at this man, and I've given you a number of passages. You have Genesis 37, and then from 39 all the way to 50, you've got incidents in the life of Joseph. And God says, this is the Christian life. And there will be times when life will be happy, and you will have great joy, and you won't be faced with enormous trials or anything like that, and life will go well with you, and the lines will fall in pleasant places for you, and there will be times when you will know enormous anguish and pain, and you will be bewildered. I often think of Joseph. And you know, he was just a lad. In fact, when we read this passage, and Reuben came back and he said, "Where is the boy?" He wasn't a mature man when many of these things happened. He was most probably a teenager. And you think of him there in Potiphar's house. And he tries to do his best to live a godly life and to be a faithful servant to Potiphar. And because of that, false charges are brought against him of attempted rape, and he's thrown into prison. Can you imagine a young man being dealt like that? And you see him in prison, and he must have been bewildered. We don't have indication in the early passages that he knew exactly what was going on. He must have been bewildered. And that is how the Christian life is. And we go through trials in our Christian lives, and they bewilder us. And you say, why is this happening? Well, Joseph teaches us that this is the Christian life. So we will learn about this, and I trust it will be of encouragement to us. First reason why we should study the life of Joseph. Joseph teaches us about the daily Christian life. But there's a second reason why I would like us to study the life of Joseph. And the second reason is this. Joseph teaches us about the grace of God in the daily Christian life. Joseph teaches us about the grace of God in the daily Christian life. Do you know, when you read this life, excuse me, when you read Joseph's life and you read about the various incidents that took place, you're actually reading about God's grace to him. You're reading about how God has been good to this man and how God has graciously sustained him and how God has graciously used him and how God has graciously watched over him through his life. And we see this really. We have to be very careful when we study the text, because this is how the Old Testament so often operates. The Old Testament has a certain way of recording history, in that the writers of the Old Testament record the history and they say, this incident, and then this incident, and then this incident, and so on. It records all these incidents. And if you're not careful, you can't just read it as a history book and you just look at all these incidents. But then if you study it, you begin to see that underneath all these incidents, there is the presence of God and the grace of God and the power of God at work. Because that is how these things work. God works behind the scenes. I think this is one of the most encouraging things about the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation actually unveils this. It opens and says, we're not just going to show you about incidents on earth, but Revelation takes us into heaven. And Revelation tells us what's happening in heaven. And Revelation says to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne. And his throne is surrounded by the angels and by the elders. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of his church. And the Lord Jesus Christ upholds his servants. Revelation unveils all this. But the books of the Old Testament in particular, they're not so explicit with all this. But if you read the text, you see it again and again. Let me just give you some examples of how God was gracious to Joseph. And I think we see it particularly in the early years of his life, in the way that God sustained this man. You know, there are some remarkable things that happen in Joseph's life. We read this passage where his brothers turn on him. And they were planning to kill him. They decide not to kill him, but they decide to sell him into slavery. Now, so many of us, if this had happened to us, You know, I have three older brothers. And if my brothers had turned against me and had sold me into slavery, we were born in East Africa, and if they had sold me into slavery in Sudan, because parts of Sudan still have slavery, and years later I met with them, I would have been full of anger and bitterness. I would hardly have spoken to them. But Joseph doesn't do that. When his brothers come to Egypt, Joseph is kind to them. And Joseph is gracious to them. Why? Because God has been gracious to Joseph. And God has been at work in Joseph mightily. You see, for example, when he's in Potiphar's house. And he's a slave. And these slaves, I doubt if they were all wonderful, faithful men to their masters. I mean, they're slaves. They've been sold as slaves. So I would imagine that most slaves would be careless in their work and lazy and would always have to be nagged and poked so that they do work. But when you read about Joseph, yes, he's been sold as a slave. But Joseph is a diligent servant, honest, a man of integrity, faithful. Why? He's only a young man. And again, you see the grace of God in the life of Joseph. It's a wonderful lesson. Do you know, as I've studied the life of Joseph, it's actually been good, because you look at your own life and you say, well, I can see the work of God here. I can see how God helped Joseph through that and sustained him. And you look back at your life and you say, God was the same with me. And God has been gracious to me. I don't think I realized when I was going through that particular period how gracious God was to me. And this has revealed it. I've seen the hand of God. How gracious, how kind he has been in my own life. I trust we will see this as we study the life of Joseph. So Joseph teaches us about the daily Christian life. Up and down, things that happen which are tremendous blessing. And things that happen which bring trials and anguish to us. And Joseph teaches us about the grace of God in the daily Christian life, the way that God enables him and the way that the Lord sustained him and used him. A third reason why we need to study Joseph's life, and it is this, that Joseph teaches us about the plans and purposes of God in the daily Christian life. All these incidents that happened to him. He's his father's favorite son. And his father is not ashamed or not afraid of showing this, that I love Joseph more than I love my other children. And his father makes him this coat of many colors. And his brothers hate him. And his brothers sell him into slavery to Egypt. And Joseph is first in Potiphar's house and then in prison. And he interprets some dreams. And finally, after some years, he finds himself standing before Pharaoh, interpreting dreams. And he ends up ruler of Egypt. So you look at all these events that are happening. Betrayed by his brothers, sold as a slave, and then brought false charges against him of attempted rape, in prison, forgotten in prison. You look at all these incidents. And when you first look at them, they seem to make no sense. They all seem to be random events. It's almost like it's just one random event after another, one random after another. And there seem to be no pattern to them. There seems to be no purpose in them. There seems to be no plan behind. There's no planning behind it. It's all just random. And I think that's how Joseph must have seen them initially. I think as Joseph was going through these things, and he just, oh, what is going to come up next? What next now? Oh, I'm now in prison because false charges were brought against me. And it all seems random. But then, right at the end of his life, Joseph looks back and he sees actually God has planned all these things and the hand of God was in it all and God was bringing about his purposes, which he had planned for his people. This is how God works. God is at work in the world. And God is bringing about His plans and His purposes. He's bringing them to pass. And the way that God works, this is one of the great mysteries of the Scriptures. And this is one of those questions that theologians argue endlessly. Because it's such a great mystery. Because what the Bible teaches us is that the way God works, He even uses sinful men and their sinful actions to accomplish His purposes. But He does not in any way implicate Himself in their sins or doesn't become stained by their sins. You see, Joseph ends up in Egypt. How does he end up in Egypt? Well, his brothers were wicked. I read these passages, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before from this pulpit. I am stunned by how wicked his brothers were. I mean, he's only a young lad. He's a teenager. And they were older. And they should at least have been that kind of sense of he's a young brother and we must protect him. But instead of protecting him, they sell him into slavery. Well, that's bad enough. But what I find very difficult is they go back home to Jacob with this coat dipped in blood. And they say to him, identify this. And he says, that's the coat of my son. He's been torn to pieces by an animal. And then for years, wasn't a few weeks, wasn't a few months, for years, Jacob mourns the death of Joseph. And they watch him, and they don't even have the heart to say, actually, we lied to you. Joseph isn't dead. We sold him into slavery in Egypt. Can you imagine watching your own father in anguish, pain, crying, suffering, and you know that the reason is actually not the right one. You've told him a lie. And you don't even correct this. You just watch him. And they all watched him. So we're looking at very wicked men in this incident. But God, in some mysterious way, uses their actions to take Joseph to Egypt. And then in Egypt, in Potiphar's house, you have this wicked woman. And she brings up charges of attempted rape, completely invented. He did the opposite. Instead of seeking to rape her, he actually ran away from the room when she tempted him. So there's this wicked woman there. And he ends up in prison. And again, in some mysterious way, God oversees all these things. He is not in any way implicated in their wickedness. He did not plan their wickedness. He did not move them to their sinful actions. But somehow God is in control of all these things, and He uses all these things to bring about His purposes. Joseph ends up in prison because he was first betrayed and sold by his brothers and then charged falsely by a woman. And he finds himself in prison. And from that prison, he finds himself becoming the prime minister of Egypt. And God uses him, gives him wisdom, and he stores all this food. And I wonder if all this time he's thinking, what is going on? What is God doing here? What are the purposes of God? And then one day his brothers come. And I think Joseph clicked. Because these were the people of God. And God has announced his plans. And God has said that there will be a race here on earth who will be His people in the Old Testament. His covenant people, His chosen people in the Old Testament. And the Messiah will come from them. Now this famine was a very bad one. And they could all have died. All of Jacob's children could have died in that famine. It was a terrible famine. But God has worked through all these events to make sure that Joseph is prime minister of Egypt and food has been stored. And when they come, he's able to feed them. And the Israelites live and they multiply and they continue in history. You know, at this time, their lives were hanging by a thread. And they could have died. But God was working out His plans and His purposes through all of this. And you know, in the New Testament, when the Bible speaks about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, it uses the same kind of language. And the Bible says that there were these people in Jerusalem. There was Pontius Pilate, and there was Herod, and there were the Roman soldiers, and there were the Jewish leaders. And they were all wicked, because the trial of Jesus was a kangaroo court. It was invented charges. But they all conspired. Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers and the Jewish leaders, they all conspired. And they put him to death. And in doing so, they did what God had purposed should happen. You go through phases in your life, and there are heartaches and difficulties and pain. And the pain is very real. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're immunized from emotional pain. The difficulties in the Christian life are very real. And you go through this and you wonder what is happening. And then you read the life of Joseph. And there is this wonderful comfort that God is at work. His purpose is to accomplish. And I may not know what they are yet. I may not even know on my deathbed what God was doing through all this. But we can trust this. We can trust God with this. He is working out His good purposes. Even in our trials, God is working out His good purposes. So we study the life of Joseph because he teaches about the daily Christian life. He teaches us about the grace of God, about the plans and purposes of God. And then fourthly and finally, we study the life of Joseph because he teaches us how to remain faithful to God in the daily Christian life. I think this is one of the most remarkable things about Joseph, that through all these difficulties that he went through, he never once denied God. He was a man just like us. I don't think we should ever read any of these characters in the Old Testament and say, well, of course, they were super saints. And of course, they were the special people of God on a higher plane than we are. And they were closer to God and all that. I don't think that's the case. I mean, somebody like Elijah, the prophet. And then when James writes about him in the New Testament, James says, Elijah was a man just like us. And James says, Elijah was there to teach us lessons. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, all these events in the Old Testament were written for our instruction. Now, if Joseph was some super saint, some super spiritual person, well, what lessons can I learn from him? I'm not a super saint. I'm just an ordinary Christian. Why then did God write all this? Well, God wrote all this because he was a Christian just like we are. And he faced severe trials. But he never once denied his God. I think his faith must have been up and down. I think there were times when his faith was very weak. I don't think we should make these people into saints that they weren't. And I imagine there in Potiphar's house, when he looks back at how his brothers turned against him, and how his brothers hated him, and he saw hatred in their eyes, and heard hatred in their voice, I think his faith must have taken a knock. And then he's faithful to Potiphar and finds himself in prison on trumped up charges. And I think his faith again was probably quite weak. But this is the important thing. He never lost his faith. His faith never deserted him. You never read in the life of Joseph, he turns around and says, well, I'm not having anything more to do with God. I've had enough of this. I've tried to live a godly life and I've ended up in Egypt. I've tried to live a godly life in Egypt and I've ended up in prison on false charges. I'm not going to worship God. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to do anything. Doesn't say that. I'm sure he went through enormous trials in his faith. And I'm sure he asked himself many questions. But he remained faithful to God. This is because God sustained his faith. I think this is one of the most encouraging lessons from the life of Joseph, that God sustains our faith. If you're a Christian here this evening, there will be times in your life when your faith will take a knock. No point denying this. If you think to yourself, I'm going to go through the Christian life as one triumphant march to heaven, no trials, no difficulties, and my faith getting stronger day by day so that my faith is always growing. If that's how you think, I tell you, the Christian life will be full of trials and there will be times when your faith will be very weak. And you will go to God and you will say, grant me greater faith, increase my faith. That's a biblical prayer. The apostles prayed that prayer. Lord, increase our faith. Because their faith struggled. And Joseph's faith struggled. And our faith struggles. But this, I think, is one of the great lessons from the life of Joseph. That his faith never actually abandoned him. He never actually lost faith in God. He continued. He held on to God, even through the severest of trials. He held on to God, and his faith was honored by God. God sustained him through all of this. So in the coming weeks, we'll be looking at the life of Joseph, these various events that happen. It's an exciting life. The events themselves are exciting. But actually, the lessons we learn are even more exciting, and I trust that Joseph's life will do us much good in our own Christian lives. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for these lives that you recorded in the Bible for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the way that you moved your servant Moses to write about Joseph and all these various events. And we thank you that they're for our instruction, for our encouragement. We pray, O God, as we look at the life of Joseph, look at the various events in his life, that you, Lord, would be gracious to us. We pray that you would strengthen our faith. You would encourage us, Lord, and build us up in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.